Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I hope everybody here, everybody listening, enjoyed their Thanksgiving, is enjoying some time off of work. For those of you with, who were afforded some time off of work, shouts to all of the retail and restaurant employees working on a Black Friday. I've been there. I've done that. I feel for you. It's a hectic time to work. So anybody who plans on going shopping, be nice to those employees, please. They have jobs just like the rest of us, and it's a stressful time of year for them. It is also a stressful time of year to be a Wolves fan. The Wolves are losers in their previous three consecutive matchups. They are now 4-10 on the season. They rank 14th in the Western Conference ahead of only the Dallas Mavericks. They are three games behind the Los Angeles Lakers, who rank 8th in the Western Conference. But between them and the Lakers are the Portland Trailblazers, the Denver Nuggets, the Sacramento Kings, the New Orleans Pelicans, as well as tonight's opponent, the Phoenix Suns. For those interested in learning a little bit more about tonight's opponent, I talked with Gerald Bourget, who covers the Phoenix Suns as well as the NBA at large over at hoopshabit.com. He is based in Tempe. I uploaded that as its own little episode, so you can go and listen to that if getting to know the Suns is something you like to do. The Suns have a special affinity in my heart. I was born in Phoenix. I did go to high school there for 3 years. I did enjoy going to games at America West Arena back when it was known as America West Arena. Before that, it was known as the Madhouse on McDowell. I do wish I was around for that nickname. I do think it is an awesome nickname. And I do reserve the right to pull out my Suns fan card. I will probably wait a few years until their young talent grows and progresses into a championship contender, although I'm not quite sure I'm going to do that, and I'm equally not quite sure that that's going to happen. So without further ado, let's get into some of the storylines I prepped for today. The Wolves are 3-4 at home and 1-6 on the road. They'll get a chance, obviously, to improve that road record tonight and tomorrow in games against Phoenix and the Golden State Warriors, respectively. 538.com is the Wolves finishing the year 35-47 and gives them a 24% chance of making the postseason as of right now. No team has dropped further in terms of 538's projections since last week than the Timberwolves, dropping by their 538 score of negative 45. So not a very good situation there, according to 538.com, which calls tonight's game between the Wolves and Phoenix a toss-up, so there is a perfectly good chance the Wolves could win tonight, a 50-50 chance, if you go by 538's projections. So those of you who are able to tune in, who are still in town and watch the game on television, coverage on Fox Sports North begins at 7:30, tip-off slotted for 8 o'clock. The game being in the West starts a little later. You can catch the game on the radio as well, 8:30 a.m. on your dial. Alan Horton will have the call, as always, with coverage beginning at 7:30. Let's dive into some Timberwolves news. According to Bleacher Report's Rick Bucher, President Coach Tom Thibodeau is only a few losses away from dealing one of his team's young stars in exchange for a veteran who can help the Timberwolves win now.
Tom Thibodeau is not exactly a paragon of patience, which is why league sources expect that he is only a few more losses away from dealing one of his young stars for a veteran who can help him win now. His first look will be for a player he already knows and trusts because he's already had that player in his system. Would the Lakers consider advancing their youth movement and deal former Bull Luol Deng? Would the Bulls consider parting with Jimmy Butler or Taj Gibson? Where Tibbs looks is not certain, nor is who he'd be willing to move. But those in the league who know his hunger to win and win now are convinced he will begin calling around soon, if he hasn't already.
That audio is courtesy of a tweet found at Bleacher Report's Twitter account. That's Rick Bucher doing the reporting. Now, this was aggregated and discussed over at ProBasketballTalk.com by Dan Feldman, is the author of an article published over there regarding the rumor that Tom Thibodeau is expected to trade a young Timberwolves player for an established veteran. Now, Feldman breaks it down in a pretty reasonable way, stating there are a few possibilities potentially overlapping here. League sources, quote-unquote, this is number one on Feldman's list. Be sure to check it out at NBCSports.com. Under the NBA tab, if this is something you're interested in and want to read for yourself. But number one, and I quote, league sources are aware of Tom Thibodeau's notoriously competitive nature and, without specific insight here, are merely supposing he'll push for a win-now trade. Feldman writes that you or I could do the same. Very much possible. These are, you know, the report. The premise of the report is basically speculation provided by league sources that are suggesting that in light of Thibodeau's notoriously competitive nature and in light of the way the Wolves have performed this season, it seems likely or it could be possible that Thibodeau would trade a member of the young core, a young talent, in exchange for an established veteran. So, yeah, anybody could do that. Anybody with knowledge of Thibodeau's competitive nature and with knowledge of how poorly the Wolves have played of late and this season could suggest what these league sources have suggested. Number two, Feldman writes, league sources work for teams that want to acquire a young Timberwolves player and are trying to pry one loose. If this is the intent behind the rumor, it wouldn't necessarily reflect reality for the Timberwolves. So, you know, are league sources putting it in people's ear that Tom Thibodeau would like to trade one of the young players to in an effort to pry one loose? Sure, it's very possible. I'm sure leveraging like this among league GMs goes on all the time. You could argue, too, that it causes chaos amidst the locker room, amidst the players and the coaching staff, the Timberwolves players and the coaching staff, that is. But, you know, these are professionals and trade rumors, and players and coaches deal with them all the time. So keeping your ears and eyes focused on what's ahead of you and ignoring the trade rumors and not letting them affect the way you play on the court is definitely something players are used to doing. So it's not something I would worry. You know, I wouldn't say that Rubio, for example, is playing out there with the trade rumors in mind. He's not letting them impact his performance. Is my guess. Number three, Feldman writes, league sources, either from Minnesota or through conversations with the Timberwolves, have clear knowledge of Thibodeau's plan. Now, this one is, as Feldman writes, meaningful. Anybody with league sources who knows Thibodeau's plan might have better insight or would have better insight than anybody else. So if indeed these league sources do have accurate knowledge of Thibodeau's plan, they would be able to better suggest or more accurately suggest what could happen in the imminent future. Now, of the names listed, Jimmy Butler, Luol Deng, Taj Gibson, it would be hard for the Wolves to acquire one just because of cap space. I know Jimmy Butler and Luol Deng specifically have a cap hit this season that would put the Wolves over the salary cap. Now, that doesn't account for an outgoing player or group of players. But with that being said, if we're playing within the rules and acknowledging these trade rumors, not necessarily giving them merit or projecting that they will come to fruition. But if we're going to play the game of NBA content and Timberwolves content, as I must do for this show, which of the Wolves players on the roster can you classify as young talents? Well, there's a few of them. Obviously, the big three, Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and Zach LaVine, who I suspect are off the table. You couldn't trade one of those players for either of Luol Deng or Jimmy Butler and have it work out as far as cap space is concerned. There were rumors, obviously, around draft time involving Zach LaVine as well as Jimmy Butler and Ricky Rubio in a potential trade, but those did not come to fruition. So I imagine whether or not that they would come to fruition now as opposed to back then, I don't know. Among other young talents, I think it's a little too early to label Chris Dung as an emerging star, as Rick Bucher said. The Wolves would be willing to trade, or Thibodeau specifically would be willing to trade in exchange for an established veteran. It's a little early to call Chris Dunn that. And in addition, being that he's the first and only player drafted under the Thibodeau-Scott-Layden regime, it's hard to imagine him going anywhere. It's hard to imagine Thibodeau, you know, trying to flip him as an asset this early in his career. It's just too early. I don't know if I would necessarily get behind that deal, or any deal, rather. So Ricky Rubio would obviously be a name, and has been a name that has been involved in trade rumors. His contract, he's the most expensive, or he's the Wolves' highest paid player on the roster as it stands. And so, you know, if you're going to trade for an established veteran with a cap hit for this season that is greater than the amount of cap space the Wolves have left, so if you're not trading a player on a rookie deal who would have a low cap hit and you're trading Ricky Rubio, you would be able to create a little more cap room to absorb a contract that an established veteran would have, much like Luol Deng and Jimmy Butler. So in a sense, I guess what I'm saying is Ricky Rubio would be the most likely of the players on the roster to be traded, just because his contract would allow the Wolves to absorb a larger contract that an established veteran would most likely have. But with the Wolves point guard situation being as grim as it is, it's hard to imagine a trade actually coming to the fold. I'm not buying into the rumor, but I do think it was worth acknowledging. This all surfaced yesterday on Thanksgiving, so it's something that I deemed worth talking about, and I just talked about it, and there we go. So, you know, it's hard to see the Bulls trading Jimmy Butler with the team that they have going, with Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo. You know, it's obviously a team built to be competitive now, and for them to throw in the towel that early and trade the likes of Jimmy Butler would just straight shock me. Admittedly, I haven't paid too much attention to the Los Angeles Lakers. Dan Feldman, who wrote the article at ProBasketball.com regarding this trade rumor, says that Deng is struggling in his first season of a big contract with the Lakers. But, you know, being that Deng is somebody Thibodeau has coached in the past and seems to be very high on, sure, there's merit to the idea that Thibodeau would not mind having Deng on his team. Although it's you know, hard to project whether he would actually go about trading him. So Taj Gibson is actually the name that would, you know, Gibson's contract is, I think the cap hit at my last glance was like $8.5 million. So you would have space to absorb his contract and remain under the cap if you're the Wolves, if you were to trade a player on their rookie contract, but which would sort of, you know, you could theorize that the Wolves could trade Shabazz Muhammad is how you pronounce that name. The Wolves could move Shabazz Muhammad in exchange for a Taj Gibson, somebody whose cap hit is only $8.5 million. And it would make some sense, because looking at Taj Gibson's contract information, he is set to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, so you wouldn't be on the hook for any dollars involving Taj Gibson next season. So you would pretty much get a rental unless Thibodeau would pursue giving him an extension next summer. But it's too early to call. But any veteran with a cap hit this year of less than $10 million could be moved for a player on a rookie contract. But any veteran, well-established veteran who has a heftier deal of with including a cap hit of $10 million or more would require a little bit more legwork as far as salaries are concerned, and which would, you know, peg Ricky Rubio as the one most likely to be traded if you're putting any stock into the rumors. So not much else to delve into there. Going into Ricky Rubio's performance this season with the Wolves, it's definitely been underwhelming, to say the least. He's missed some games due to injury. We've tracked on this program his on-off splits, and we'll continue to do so right now. The Wolves, in 275 minutes over the span of 9 games with Ricky Rubio on the court, are scoring at the rate of 100.4 points per 100 possessions, while giving them up to opponents at the rate of 110.7 points per possessions. If you're doing the math at home, this renders a net rating of negative 10.3 points per 100 possessions, and which is surprising to see, being that Ricky Rubio has always led the team in this metric, net rating, when he's been on the court. The Wolves have always performed really well, both offensively and defensively, or as well as they can and have with Rubio on the court. Comparatively, in about 125 more minutes when Rubio has been off the court, 397 total, spanning over the entire season of 14 games, the Wolves have scored at the rate of 109.9 points per 100 possessions, while giving up 102.7 points per 100 possessions to opponents, which leaves a net rating of positive 7.1, which is obviously better than the alternative. However, it is worth noting that the Wolves boast a positive net rating when Rubio individually is on the bench. When Karl Anthony Towns is on the bench, the Wolves' net rating is positive 6.9. When Andrew Wiggins is on the bench, the Wolves' net rating is a positive 6.4. And when Zach LaVine is on the bench, the Wolves' net rating is positive 10. So that metric in particular, the plus-minus metric, is heavily dependent, if you're looking at it to assess an individual player. You have to remember that the plus-minus metric is very much contingent on who that player is on the floor with. And as you can see with these numbers for Towns, Wiggins, LaVine, and Rubio, when they, individually, in terms of plus-minus, when they're off the floor, the Wolves are performing better. But this is likely because they're often all off the floor at similar times. And, you know, there are points during garbage time when they're all off the floor, when the Wolves are down 20 in a game or up big in a game, as we've seen a couple times. More often than not, they're losing big when the bench unit gets in and goes by itself during garbage time in the fourth quarter. And that bench unit then puts up positive numbers in a game that is virtually decided at that point. That impacts the plus-minus numbers of the starters in a negative way. So as surprisingly underwhelming as Rubio's plus-minus numbers are, it's good to keep them in context and note that they're just as concerning and alarming when you look at Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and Zach LaVine as individuals. So that is topic number two. Topic number three would be Wiggins' regression. It's been ugly. Wiggins in the Wolves' recent loss to the New Orleans Pelicans shot 2 of 19 from the field. He was 0 of 3 from three-point range, arguably the worst box score I've ever seen while covering this team for an individual player. Wiggins obviously got out to the hot start over the Wolves' first 10 games. He made 20 of 38 of his attempts from behind the three-point line. That equates to a three-point percentage of 52.6 from the field overall. Wiggins was 9 of 192 during the first 10 games, in which he played 362 minutes, That field goal percentage was 46.9, as I said. He shot 73.3% from the charity stripe, 66 of 90 made versus attempts. He was scoring 26.6 points per game during those first 10 games. Compared to the last four games in which Andrew Wiggins has played 141 minutes, Wiggins is averaging almost 10 points less on a points per game basis at 17.3. He's made only 3 of 17 of his attempts from beyond the arc, and he's shooting 33.8% from the field overall, 23 of 68 makes versus misses. So definitely a regression to the mean. I don't think any of us thought Wiggins would shoot above 50% from beyond the arc all season, and that certainly has that certainly has proved to be the case. So if it isn't that Wiggins is forcing it or he got too big for his britches and got a little overconfident, it's just a regression to the mean. This happens sometimes. Tom Thibodeau did address the Andrew Wiggins, his performance on the season, really, at Shoot Around this morning, and I will play the audio courtesy of the Wolves Radio SoundCloud right now.
Tom, just again being here from Toronto, a lot of excitement around Andrew and that mm-hmm. role he got on. What's the contrast between those 6 or 7 games where he looks unstoppable and 3 or 4 games where he's...
Well, that's sort of the way, this league works. I mean, he was, he started the season and he was rolling pretty good. And so teams have loaded up pretty good on him. And he has to understand what the next adjustment will be. And that's all part of him growing as a player. So, again, we had a good session yesterday. He got a look. He had some really good looks. He got to the free throw line 10 times. But the other stuff, the playmaking, like we can get easy offense. If teams load up to him like that, we can get some easy offense off of that. And then once you do it right now, and he did make some good plays. We did not shoot the three well. We haven't shot it well in the last couple of games. So I think that's part of it. When we're shooting the three the way we're capable of shooting it, and that puts more pressure on the defense to continue, whether they'll continue to double team him or not. And he's getting a look at 2 or 3 people on him right now. So I think in transition is another area where we got to get him some easy baskets.
That was Tom Thibodeau this morning prior to tonight's matchup against Phoenix, talking about Andrew Wiggins and his hot start and recent regression. He mentioned post-ups in that quote. Andrew Wiggins is a large reason for why the Wolves rank second in the league in terms of points per possession in post-up situations, scoring just under a point per possession in post-up situations. They are shooting, they've made 54 of 103 field goal attempts in post-up situations. They score 49.3% of the time. They, and Andrew Wiggins has a huge reason to do with that. Every time Wiggins is placed in a post-up situation, he's often double-teamed. He's either getting to the foul line, he's making a move to the basket, scoring, or passing it out to the perimeter, and either that first pass leads to an open shot or the second or the third pass, the often referred to as the hockey assist, comes into play. The Wolves are scoring 48.1% of the time when Wiggins is put into post-up situations. That ranks in the 72nd percentile among the league. All of these recently mentioned statistics is courtesy via Synergy Sports Technology. So the Wolves, I mentioned a little bit in the aforementioned interview I had with Gerald Bourget, which you can check out in a different episode on the same feed on iTunes and Audio Boom. But Wiggins is he's put into post-up situations a lot, and as much as he's been working on his shooting, it's hard to just be an overall above average player in a lot of different facets. And for a third year player, he's obviously spent a lot of time in the post, and he's only now beginning to show improvement in spot up 3-point shooting situations. So I think over time we're getting a larger sample size, which is going to allow us to get a better idea of what type of perimeter shooter Andrew Wiggins is. And as of now, it's just a little, you know, it's a little too early to tell. We can't draw any conclusions from his hot start, and we shouldn't draw any conclusions from his recent regression. You know, how will he level out, and where will that leveling out point be? Will it be, you know, will that leave his three-point percentage closer to 40% or closer to 30%, which is what he shot from three-point range last season? I don't know. It's going to take some time to tell. But Wiggins' poor three-point shooting has dropped the Wolves' overall three-point shooting as a team. The Wolves, for a while this season, were leading the league in three-point percentage. They've since dropped to seventh in the league, making 36.6% of their attempts from beyond the three-point line. They rank 21st in three-pointers attempted per game, so taking 23.2 threes per game, which is up from, I think, 14-15 last year. They're very much taking advantage, taking much more advantage of the three-point line, utilizing it a lot more under Tom Thibodeau than they did Sam Mitchell and before that Flip Saunders. The Wolves rank ninth in offensive rating, scoring 106 points per 100 possessions. But they still have some work to do defensively. They rank 23rd in defensive rating, giving up 105.9 points per 100 possessions. They've got some work to do at both ends of the floor. I think that much is clear with the third quarter and the second half struggles and the inconsistent performances that we've seen them put forth this season so far. It's still, there's a lot of time. There's a lot of a lot of games to be played. If 68 of them, if you're keeping track at home, so they haven't done themselves any favor to start the season. I know the schedule is not going to do them any favors either. And they have a winnable game tonight against Phoenix in Phoenix, but tomorrow they're back at it up in the Bay Area taking on the Golden State Warriors, and everybody knows how good they are. After that, it really doesn't get any easier. They take on the Jazz at home, who are going to have George Hill back. They have Dante Exum is playing very well. They're healthy. They're playing. You know, they were projected by many to end up with a top four seed in the Western Conference this season if they can play to their potential. And I'm very high on the Jazz. I think that is very much a possibility. After the Jazz, they have the New York Knicks at home. And then they go on the road to take on the New York Knicks 3 days later. They're on the road after that in a back-to-back situation, taking on Charlotte. And then they come back 3 days later and take on the Spurs, at the Toronto Raptors, at home again against the Detroit Pistons, at home against the Golden State Warriors. So it's a foreboding schedule, definitely. And they coughed up some games they could have won recently against the Boston Celtics. And the game against New Orleans prior to Thanksgiving was a game they played well in the first half, but didn't do well enough in the second half to defend Anthony Davis and close the door on the Pelicans. So it's a long season, long way to go. The Wolves have a lot of improvement to make if they want to end up making the playoffs, but they are not totally down for the count. So that'll do it for today's episode of Locked On Wolves. We'll be sure to talk to you tomorrow. My name is Zachary Bennett. You can find me on Twitter at ZacharyBD. You can follow the show on Twitter as well, at Locked On Wolves. Shouts to the Locked On Podcast Network and all of the other shows on it. Be sure to check out all of them. I know Sam Ekstrom does a wonderful job with the Locked On Vikings podcast. So this being Minnesota and you likely living in Minnesota, if you're a football fan, be sure to check out the job Sam Ekstrom does with the Locked On Vikings podcast. Sage Rosenfels, former NFL quarterback, I should mention, is a frequent contributor. I think he's on every other show, and they do a wonderful job covering the Vikings. So if you're into that, check it out. Check out all of the other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Be sure to check out my interview with Gerald Bourget in preparation for tonight's game against Phoenix. That'll do it for today's episode. So long.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.